The Word of God is living and active. It probes the thoughts and motives of our heart. The Word of God comes to us by means of teachers. In the second reading, St. Paul is writing to his brother Bishop Timothy, reminding him how he ought to teach and rely on the Word of God. Proclaim the message and, welcome or unwelcome, insist on it. So often the Word of God is not preached because we lack integrity. We lack courage in proclaiming all that Christ wants us to say. All Scripture is inspired by God and to be used for teaching, for refuting error, and guiding people to live a holy life. We ought never to be discouraged in what we say and how we say it, but to rely on God's grace to convey the message in all its fullness to others. And to realize too that in imparting the truths of Christ, we need to utilize all that is available. Much of God's word, the teachings of Christ, can be conveyed to us through signs and symbols. A sign is something that tells you to do something. A symbol is something that conveys meaning. If you're driving around the mountains, those arrows are signs telling you to slow down. There's a sharp bend coming up. That tells you something emphatically, clearly. Whereas a symbol is something that's hidden, that needs to be unveiled, that conveys a meaning. We have symbols of the Trinity, three-leaf clover, St. Patrick, the triangle, and so forth. And the Church is rich with her symbols or symbolic meanings. For example, here we have the chalice is veiled during the Liturgy of the Word at the beginning of Mass, and then at the Liturgy of the Eucharist, at the offertory, it's unveiled. Why do we veil? Why do we put a cloth over this sacred vessel? To remind us that it has significance, spiritual significance. You veil that which is hidden, and only at the appropriate time is something unveiled, revealed, disclosed. That's why, traditionally speaking, the bride was always veiled until the vows had been pronounced. And only then could she reveal herself to her spouse. So we need to be aware of the signs and symbols that prevail within the Church. And within the context of prayer concerning our gospel, in perseverance in prayer, what bodily signs do we convey when we pray? When we come into the Church, do we bless ourselves in memory of our baptism with holy water, signing ourselves in the name of the triune God? And then we genuflect on one knee. Sometimes people genuflect and you wonder whether it's a curtsy or a bow, but irrespective of that, the genuflection is recognition. It's a bodily, symbolic recognition of the presence of Christ in the tabernacle. And then when we pray, how do we hold our hands? Do we bow our head? Do we close our eyes? These are all gestures that we do within the body, through the body, and they ought to convey meaning. When we converse with other people, our bodily posture reveals the type of conversation we are having. And bear in mind, prayer is a conversation with God. Just the other day, we celebrated the feast of St. Teresa of Avila. She was a Spanish mystic of the 16th century who was taught by her father and uncle how to pray. She reached the heights of prayer. In her own life, in spite of the sufferings and crosses that came her way, and she says that prayer is a lifting up of the heart. It's a conversation with your best friend within, who is Christ Jesus. And when we pray to him, therefore, how do we position ourselves? In what manner do we pray? Of course, we can pray in different modes at different times. During the month of October, this month, we can pray the rosary, kneeling, sitting, standing, walking. But when we do pray the rosary, let us be recollected in what we are saying and to whom are we saying these prayers. Prayer is essential to the soul as air is to the lungs and food to the body. And the more habitual our prayer, the greater the likelihood it will prevail and persevere. Many people lose heart at times in their prayer because they've been petitioning God for a particular solution to a problem or an answer to some question, and they haven't received the answer they've wanted. And sometimes they become discouraged, dismayed, and give up. We ought not, because in the parable of this weekend, we are told that God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers, and at times he may delay in answering them. But that's for a reason. Parents sometimes delay in giving to their children what their children have demanded of them. But their delay has a purpose. And when we become adults, we see why our parents did certain things at certain times. Also, too, in eternity, we'll look back and know then why God perhaps did delay in answering our prayers. Or perhaps at times the answer to the prayer is no. God is not Santa Claus. God doesn't just give us what we want. He gives us what we need. He wants us to love him as children love their parents. And sometimes parents, for the sake of their children, have to say no. Tough love is real love. And God is the greatest lover. Let us therefore renew our devotion to persevere in prayer, especially in this month of the Rosary, in order that we are open to God's will in our life, that the Word of God is living and active through our prayer. In doing so, we who pray, especially as a family, will be united. Remember the saying, that family that prays together does stay together. God bless you.